You paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Welcome back to WGN Radio. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand this week, who is still off on his European crazy stuff that he's doing. Really cool, actually. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. You can find me online, thinklink.com. Thank you so much for everybody who responded to yesterday's show. I did a little Ask Me Anything about your money to give you some best money moves. I will be answering those this afternoon. I didn't get a chance yet. I went actually out to enjoy the fireworks. I'm sure you did as well. But feel free. Connect with me there at thinklink.com or through Twitter at Glink, Instagram, Facebook, boy, LinkedIn, any way and all way. We're all social media. Okay, it is 12:11 on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've got John Najarian joining us. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Elise. Great to be with you.
It's nice to have you here as well. So I am noticing that it's a beautiful sunny day and the Dow is going a little bit crazy. What's going on there?
Well, I guess a certain amount of it might be expected given that the market frustrated all the bears last week by going up in the face of the Brexit vote. Basically, since the moment of that vote, the market had recovered nearly all of its losses, nearly, not quite all. In the case of Great Britain, of course, did much better even than that. But Germany and France still to the downside. And today, more or less, with the Bank of England move to basically loosen up the reserve requirements, that was good for UK-based stocks, not so much for the rest of Europe.
So here's what I don't understand is there is so much uncertainty. Brexit only adds to the uncertainty. How is it that the markets feel confident enough to plow money in and for the stock markets around the world, really, to do all that kind of recovering?
The answer is I don't know.
Wait a second. You're supposed to be the all know. No, seriously.
Well,
let's
exactly.
Make it.
I don't get why so much was chasing into not just our markets, but other markets that had dramatic recoveries since that uncertainty. And if we were a little further into the earnings cycle this quarter, or after our jobs report Friday at a minimum, I would say at least that those would be potential reasons to perhaps commit more capital to the markets. But we didn't really have that flush that you normally get. European markets, they fell, but our market, we had basically a 600-point drop on the Friday right after the vote. That would be the 24th.
Right.
Monday, we had a 330-point decline, and even as we had that one, the volatilities were actually going down, indicating that people didn't expect as much downside, and indeed they were right, because we rallied, as I say, pretty much right back from that edge. So I didn't see a lot of great stocks to go chasing into last week, and maybe this time around, especially with the jobs report looming Friday, maybe we'll get a chance this time.
So I'm looking out over the summer, and I'm looking at a very contentious election cycle, mm-hmm. which always makes people nervous. And we usually, if you look back, even in the real estate world, you know, 6 to 9 months before an election, you start to see the real estate market slow down. And I've watched this happen 4 or 5 times now, and it happens all the time. People get a little nervous about making their single biggest investment, so they kind of decide to wait and see what's happening. Meanwhile, interest rates are down at near the historic low again. Not that they were ever that high, but near historic lows. When you look out over things like negative interest rates in European banks, in Asia banks, so people aren't really earning any money, how much does that factor into the world saying, well, we understand that there's going to be a contentious election cycle, but the U.S. looks just so much safer than everywhere else.
And our with these interest rates, as you say, basically last week just 1 basis point off of the all-time low for 30-year mortgages, and this week likely breaking through that and breaking and setting a new record, I think you're exactly right, Elise. I think many people, in particular folks that have some capital to commit, rather than chasing stocks, may indeed look at real estate, given that rents are up and interest rates are down. So except for some of the uncertainties, given that Chicago's debt and the state of Illinois' debt are not very highly rated, and thus we probably are facing some tax increases. If you factor that in, that's probably the only thing holding people back at all. And obviously that uncertainty as far as Illinois taxes isn't about to go away anytime soon. But nonetheless, I think as a landlord, this is a really good time to be exactly that landlord, because rents are up and your cost of financing is way down.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think real estate is just one of those things that is going to ride this out, even as there's some concern that millennials are never going to get around to actually buying a house, whether because of their student loan debt or because they just like living with mom and dad. You know, subject for another discussion for sure. Before we run out of time, I know you said it's kind of slim pickings out there and you're not really seeing some big opportunities, but any sectors that you think we should be watching closely?
Well, the one that that I've been long, and knock on wood, it's working very well. It's both a hedge and it's something that I think is more in demand given all the uncertainty that you and I just spoke to, and that is gold. Whether you choose to do it in the form of a gold miner, which is what I've done with the GDXJ and the GDX. Both of those are, of course, ETFs that track either the full value miners, the GDX, the bigger cap stocks, or the GDXJ that are the smaller cap stocks. I think both of those continue to work, and I think that gold may be breaking out to the upside after snoozing basically since 2009. After John Paulson piled in so heavily and people chased him in, and they took gold up through 1800. Now it seems like, given all those uncertainties, this is a commodity that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I can see that it does. And do you just, as a final thought, I've been hearing a lot about sort of the digital trading platforms and some of the other ones that are kind of coming up and people are making money with those. Are you at all involved in those?
I am involved in some. I'm involved actually in a jet exchange that's a digital trading platform
for
private jets that hopefully you'll hear about more in the future. But right now we've got about 600 jets on this exchange, Jet Rebellion we call it, and a lot of the companies that people deal with in the private jet market actually are dealing through us in a white-labeled sort of event. So hopefully more on that soon.
All right. We'll be checking in with you. John Najarian, thanks so much
for joining us
today. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Steve Bertrand today. If you haven't connected with me on Facebook or on Twitter, I'm at Glink. And then there's Instagram, where when I started this campaign to build up my Instagram followers, I had 17. I now have 103. Woo! Everybody get excited. Elise Glink. Andrew Herman is in the studio giggling away with me from DNA Info. Hey, welcome.
So I'm going to join. I'm gonna follow you.
Are you going to follow me?
When I go back to the world headquarters of DNA Info, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get on your Instagram.
So you know what I do? I actually Photoshop Kim Kardashian's body onto my head for every single photo.
So it's a news site.
It is. Well, it's mostly a food site, but I'll let you just imagine what that's like.
All right.
So we've got you're following some new British company. British Week, right? Brexit, and they're coming here.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a company called Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, and they started in London in 2004, and they sell bicycling apparel, so those jerseys and the shorts and the helmets and gloves and all that.
I thought we can only wear the Italian ones. Can we wear the British ones?
I've looked at the site. They've got lots and lots of different kinds of stuff. Anyway, so they have a shop in London, and they've been opening shops across the world, Sydney, Tokyo, New York, San Francisco. They're now looking at Chicago, specifically Wicker Park, and they have a very, I think, interesting way about going about doing this retail thing. So they not only have a store where you buy their stuff, the jerseys and the shorts, but they also sell food and coffee there, so they sort of make it into like a cafe. They have live racing on the TVs, and they have exhibitions and events, and so they basically, what they do is they turn their stores into clubhouses for people who are into bicycling, which I think is kind of a brilliant thing to do.
It is. So it's really community driven, and
yeah,
you want people who are like you, so instead of going to Starbucks for the coffee, like I see all of, you know, the packs of bikers in the North Shore on the weekend, and then they're biking in groups, and then they go stop at Starbucks, they would just go to one of these stores.
Well, if bicycling is like any other hobby, you just can't get enough stuff, right?
I mean,
you get into a hobby, and pretty soon, well, I need a different kind of gloves, and these shoes are the better shoes, I need these. And if you can get these customers to keep coming into the shop, and you keep showing them all the different merchandise, I would think it'd be hugely successful in selling stuff.
So here's something that I think is really interesting about what they're doing, their strategy. So when you would think that a store that opens up in London would open up a second store in, say, Edinburgh, or would capitalize on it and do a second store in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
London's got 20 million people. And yet what they're doing instead is picking hotspots around the world, and with the idea being, what do you think?
I think the idea is to get people to know the name Rafa, which maybe outside of the bicycling industry is not a huge name. And even if you don't live in one of these cities, you're near a major media center.
Right.
And so that you're getting a lot of free advertising, such as this.
Mm-hmm.
And so people might hear about it and they go online and buy the stuff.
Right.
But what you need to be in a big city, big enough to support this club concept, I think.
Yeah, I think that's good, interesting. And I think it's interesting that they feel like the world is so flat today that you can open up here and in Sydney and in London, and everywhere is going to connect together.
Well, you know, Chicago's a pretty good city for bicycling. I was looking up some federal numbers before I came in here, and the feds say that about 22,000 people in the city of Chicago use their bicycles to get to work every day.
Wow.
And,
okay, do you remember when Mayor Daley started with that whole thing? He's like, we're going to have biking lanes, and we were all like, really?
Right. He was right on that one, for sure.
He was right on that one.
Yeah, so we've seen the number of people using bikes in Chicago to commute triple since 2000. While it's still, you know, a small percentage, maybe 1.5%, it is growing. So who knows where it ends? And if you're in the industry, the bicycling industry, I would think that Chicago would be a good place for you to be.
Yep. Well, what else do you have going on?
Well, this is a bar that's planned for Lincoln Park, and it's called Tobacco Road Tap Room. And people who are fans of sports in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the college conference, that will be familiar to them because the Tobacco Road rivalry is between Duke and North Carolina. Long story short, a guy named Kyle Silver, he is a former Duke baseball player. He is opening up a bar, as I say, on Lincoln Avenue, designed to attract people who are fans of ACC sports. And it joins really a number of other bars in Chicago that really cater to specific sports teams. Now, this is the first one. I guess we have Big Ten bars in Chicago, but this is the first one I've seen of the Atlantic Coast Conference. And in order to sort of mark his bar as something special, they have food and drink that represents the various colleges that are in this conference. So they have a burger with a fried egg on top, which evidently is very popular at the University of Virginia. They have something called loose juice, which is, I do not know what it is, but kids at University of Miami like it. And so you go to this bar, say you graduated from one of these schools, you know, you can get like a taste of the college days.
I'm home.
And all the televisions are always tuned to ACC sports, and those are some pretty major teams in America, particularly in basketball, and you got a place to go.
Wow. So it's really community-driven around sports with kind of a particular lens. I think we're going to be seeing more of this stuff.
Yeah.
Andrew, thanks so much for stopping by. DNAinfo.com for more.
Absolutely.
All right.
This and much more.
Follow Andrew on Instagram because he and Kim Kardashian have a lot in common. I really like the Rafa stuff. All right. It's 12:28. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand on WGN Radio. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand this week. You know, that really worked. I got at least two more Instagram followers just by saying the words Kim Kardashian. It's kind of amazing. 36 minutes past the hour, and Suzanne Muchen joins us on the line. Hey, Suzanne, how are you?
Hey, Elise. Good.
I was with my sister, your biggest fan, last night. I should have told her you're going to be on the air with me today.
I already stole your thunder. Emailed her this morning.
Well, we have so many fun things to talk about. You've got, let's see, where should we start? Beer or feminism? Or is there a way to combine them both?
Oh, I think we can do both at once.
Okay. Go for it.
So let's talk about Bud Light, who last year rolled out a campaign that was truly mind-blowing. If there had been one woman in the room, I'm sure this wouldn't have happened. But this was their campaign last year that was called, quote, Up for Whatever, with the tagline, the perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night.
Okay, you're totally right. There was just not a single woman within a mile of the room where that was being made, was being made, right? Yeah.
Am I right?
Okay. You are.
So they were slammed for that. So now they're back this summer with a new campaign with really two fantastic people, Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen. But they're applying this new technique that people are calling Fembertizing, which is this growing trend where advertisers try to use feminist themes to promote their products. So you've got an ad for Secret deodorant that features a woman. I guess she must be sweat.
Oh, hey, I think we're losing you, Suzanne. All right. Well, we're going to call you right back, but I absolutely agree that femvertising is something that I'm seeing that's sort of interesting. And while we're getting Suzanne back, what I have to say about Amy Schumer, Seth Rogen, I'm a huge fan of both of theirs. Amy Schumer has been doing some things that I think are really pushing the boundaries here in some very positive ways, right? So Amy has been doing some Instagramming, my favorite word of the day, right, to make fun of what she is seeing out there with Kim Kardashian and some of the other people who are out there doing it. You know, Suzanne, I know we have you back now, right?
Yes, I'm back.
So this idea that Amy is out there sort of not only pushing the boundaries, like the feminine thing and really working hard at that, I love how she's now making fun of some people who are basically women who are basically using their bodies to sell whatever they're selling.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
She's out there.
She's out there. And I think that's where the line is. I mean, you know, you talk about Kim Kardashian using her body, and I think most of us cringe. But these commercials, the femvertizing trend, the good thing is they get people paying attention because it's funny, and they get people talking. And I think that's actually a good thing.
Oh, I think it's a great thing. And also, humor is such a powerful weapon, don't you think? And you've got Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen, both of whom are hilarious, who have pushed the boundaries in some of their movies or some of the TV shows that they're doing. And they're using humor that might make us feel uncomfortable, and yet we're sure to remember it, which is so hard to cut through all the noise these days, right?
Exactly. And I think people respect the fact that they're both intelligent, right? There's no, you know, Kardashian element where you just wonder, really, do they have a brain cell? These are two smart actors, and I appreciate the fact that they're raising serious issues using humor. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it's good, too. I know another thing that you're very focused on is STEM, the science, let's see if I'm going to get this right, science, technology, what's E, engineering, math? Did I get that right?
Close. Engineering. Yes. Engineering, math. You've got that down.
All right. And there was a recent study by SmartAsset, which actually makes a lot of really interesting calculators and tools and some other things that people and companies use online. What did they discover about diversity? Because there's so much effort going into women and STEM and trying to push women into these industries.
It's interesting. There's been so much talk about it and a lot of panic about whether or not we're getting enough women into the STEM fields. And so they put out this study, and the thing that a lot of people are celebrating, Elise, is that Chicago, in this study of whether or not of the top 25 cities in the country that are really known for STEM, Chicago was ranked number 8 in terms of diversity. So let's just break down those statistics for a minute. What made Chicago so high up on the list? So it says 60% white, 15% Asian, 13% Black, 11% Latino and Hispanic, and then 71% male and 29% female.
29% female?
Well, see, this is the thing, right? So are we celebrating this win, which a lot of the news outlets did, or are we asking ourselves the question, are we really considering it a win when the field of really critical, you know, these are where the jobs are, is still 71% male.
Right. And they're really good, high-paying jobs as well, right? Because when you're exactly. in this world, like a starting salary for somebody who graduates with a computer science degree or any sort of knowledge, that starting salary could be $75,000 to $100,000 a year. I mean, that is a solid upper-middle-class salary.
Solid salary. And, look, the national average, just from a gender point of view, the breakdown is 74 to 26, 74% male, 26% female. Still not good, but it shows that Chicago is still actually, you know, competitive, but not necessarily really breaking new ground. And again, we have to ask ourselves the question, which I love, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who says this all the time about the Supreme Court, you know, what is the ratio supposed to be? When do we celebrate whether or not we have diversity on the court? And her answer was, you know, when it's more women than men. And here, you know, getting the field to at least 50-50 seems like a good idea.
50-50 would be spectacular. You have to get more. There are more women in college now than men. You've got to get more of those
exactly.
into engineering and math to, I think, start that ball rolling. And there are some programs that are out there doing that. I guess I'm looking at some of the diversity numbers. You know, the fact that STEM in Chicago is still 60% white, it's great that it's 40% of color.
Other.
I don't know what that necessarily.
Non-white, right.
But it would be great if somehow that number also was a little even more diverse.
Absolutely. And this is why I think it's a time where this issue is really front and center, the issue of diversity, the issues of STEM, that we don't feel satisfied just because we're seeing these kind of increases. And I think you're right. There's some great programs out there that are doing a better job of focusing on diversity. But if this becomes an economic issue, as you said, and a fairness and an equity issue, we have so much more work to do.
We do. And then maybe we're not going to have the things that we're having, like over there at Bud Light. We're going to have fewer of those sorts of, you know, foot in the mouth thing. All right, let's end on a really happy note. I love this picture. I saw it, and I just thought this was great. Triplet sisters are heading to the Olympics.
It's just so, everything about this story makes me happy. First of all, they're triplets, which for the first time in recorded history, they've never had three siblings, DNA-related siblings, going to the Olympics together. They all qualified for the Estonia. Now, granted, it's not a big country, but still.
Okay, but that's even more to your point, right? It's not a big country, and they've got triplets.
And they've got triplets.
They
all qualified for a marathon time running under 2 hours and 30 minutes, which is pretty fast.
Yeah, pretty darn fast.
And they also, if you post the picture maybe on the WGN Facebook, you've got to see these women. They are bottle blonde, each of them. You cannot tell them apart. Their names are Layla, Lily, and Lena Luke. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And they are, I mean, picture perfect, each of them. They're smiley. They're adorable. But look, you've got to imagine how hard these women have had to work to get here. And the fact that all three of them did is remarkable.
Well, and that they only started running, I think you said, 6 years ago?
Isn't that amazing?
Now that's
and they're in their 30s. They're like 30, 31. Yeah.
Okay. It's really inspiring. I think all of us sort of try to hold back. Anybody who works out, anybody who's out there running, I mean, you're really just trying to get all the positive benefits of exercise
exactly.
that we read about all the time. But to be able to compete at this level, I think, is such an impressive, impressive thing to do. So kudos to them and to the state of Estonia, where they all are.
I think we're going to see a lot of them. They're so photogenic and such a great story. I think we're going to see a lot of them next month in Brazil.
Perfect. Thanks, Suzanne, for being with us, and great stories as always. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Elise.
All right. Suzanne Muchin's with us, Femvertising. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Steve Bertrand here on WGN Radio. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 12:50. I'm Elise Glink on WGN Radio, sitting in this week for Steve Bertrand, who's off on his European extravaganza. You'll hear all about that next week for sure. With me in the studio now, I have Dan Franks and Jared Easley of Podcast Movement. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Yeah, there's not much to it. Podcast Movement.
Podcast Movement. So I'm supposed to ask you why my podcast isn't doing well.
Well, why don't you tell us about
your
podcast?
Could you just fix it for me right now? Do I have to add Kim Kardashian to it?
That wouldn't hurt.
I know, right? So I do a podcast here for WGN Plus called Monday Morning Marketing. And I do it with my friend John Byrne. And we talk about what's going on in the world of marketing. And we stream it through Libsyn, which I think is a good place to do it.
We love Libsyn.
Yes.
Tell me what makes a great podcast. Why is it that some podcasts pop and others don't?
I guess it just depends on who likes what you do. And for me, I like certain shows because they're entertaining, they're stories. Maybe I feel like I'm connected to the person who's on the other end, who's mm-hmm. talking. And I may have never even met that person. Like, Elise, this is our first time to meet, and I think you're absolutely wonderful. So it puzzles me how someone could not love your podcast.
You're going to follow me on Instagram when this is all over,
we are going to be buddies on Instagram. Sure.
But it's uniqueness, right? I think it's uniqueness because that's what makes podcasting great, is it doesn't have to fit into the radio mold. You don't have to have certain time cues. You don't have to have breaks. You don't have to reset. So it's really whatever you want to do, you can do it. And then from there, it's just, do other people like it as well?
So Podcast Movement, what is that? Is that a show that's coming here, or is that...
It's an event here in Chicago this week mm-hmm. that starts tomorrow at the Hyatt Regency.
So and who's coming? I heard that Kevin Smith is going to be here from
Clerks. Yeah, and that's what's cool about podcasting, right? All types of people do it, from big Hollywood celebrities to Jared and I and everyone in between, sports athletes, you name it. People can podcast, and they do podcast. And Podcast Movement is the world's largest conference for podcasters.
And they've come here to Chicago.
We're coming here, and Jared and I are the two founders and organizers of Podcast Movement. And we're bringing people from all 50 states and over 15 countries here.
So give us some stats. How many people are listening to podcasts every day?
Wow. How many people are listening to podcasts every day? I can tell you how many people are listening to my podcast.
But that would be impressive. That would not be impressive. Maybe you might have them beat Elise.
Well, I don't know about that, although maybe now people will be listening. But the numbers that I have seen is that people are listening to podcasts by the millions, that people are downloading it. I look at my own employees from my digital content agency, and they all have headphones on. And I'm always saying to them, are you listening to music? No, we're listening to a podcast. And they, you know, talk about all kinds of different ones. What is your experience as you're out there sort of corralling people in this?
I mean, there's still that question. People don't know what a podcast is, or have heard it but don't really know how to access it or what it really means. And I think that's what's fun about being a part of this movement. That's why we named it the Podcast Movement, because the share of ear right now is still relatively small. Still 50% of the U.S. population says they've never listened to one. So, you know, that's kind of scary as someone trying to create a podcast, you know, knowing that 50% of people have no idea how to get what you're creating. But at the same time, that's that exciting opportunity. You know, the number of people that don't watch TV is a whole lot smaller. And as we see that, you know, that 50% shrink and shrink, that's more people starting to listen to the podcast and figure out how to listen and find those unique shows and listen to Elise's podcast. So that's, you know, that's where that exciting opportunity exists, is that while, like you said, all the young kids and the demographic definitely skews younger, of the people that are listening to podcasts, as they get older and these next generations start coming through, that 50% will start to decline, and hopefully everyone's listening to podcasts.
So my friend Farnoosh Torabi has a great podcast called
She'll
So
Be There
Money.
She'll be there this week, by the way.
She's coming to Chicago, and she didn't call me?
She's in Dutch.
Farnoosh and I have been financial writers together for a really long time, and what I loved about her podcast, which has done really well, it's called So Money. She did something that I think is super smart. She went to all of her rich and famous friends and people that she knew over the years, and she said, oh, want to be on my podcast? I've been on her podcast, but I was like number 782. but it was smart, and it's a smart move, I think, for anybody who's out there doing things, to use the power of social media, and if you have those contacts and connections, to encourage, you know, engage with those people so that their social media and publicity machines work on your behalf. Seems like that's a smart move.
Yeah, but on the flip side, you don't have to be that celebrity or have those connections, and the podcast can be the way that you develop those, because Jared's started as a nobody, and he's had all types of celebrities and athletes.
And look where you are now.
You're in our studio here.
This doesn't happen by accident, Dan. And to your point, Elise, I think the discovery is so exciting because of mobile devices, because of opportunities with podcasting coming into new vehicles that are being manufactured. I believe the discovery is only going to continue to grow, and it's a great time to be discovered through a podcast. And it can be just a topic that is of interest, whether that's money or something else. People say, hey, I'm interested in this TV show, and then they look up a podcast, and then they somehow connect with that person that's created that show.
It's kind of interesting. So my kids are younger. They must be your ages. But but no, my younger son, for the last 6 or 7 years, I would go in and I'd say, are you playing video games? And he's like, no, Mom, I'm watching a video of people playing video games. And, you know, to this day, he's listening to this kind of video podcast where the people are narrating what somebody else is doing and they're having conversations. And this, of course, has turned into a huge multi-billion-dollar e-gaming thing. But it's kind of interesting. He really, and I think younger generations are truly much more tapped into the idea that you can be watching a video but really listening to other people discuss that video, which is kind of where podcasting comes in, right?
Yeah, so if you're not in a position to watch a video, isn't it nice to be able to, while you're walking downtown Chicago, to still listen to something that interests you on demand? And
yeah,
there's a lot of people that do appreciate that.
So what's your favorite podcast?
I like a show by Mike Rowe. He's the one that does
Dirty Jobs.
Yeah,
sure.
He's got one called The Way I Heard It, which is almost like I forget the name of the gentleman who used to do the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of that guy. Anyway, the Mike Rowe, and then there's an NPR show called Embedded that I really like. There's dozens that I love.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite one is a local guy here, Colt Cabana. I think he's done some stuff with WGN. He does The Art of Wrestling, and he's like an amazing professional wrestler who has all these interesting guests on. And so he's actually the host of our award show tomorrow night because we're here in Chicago. So Chicago's own Colt Cabana will be a part of that.
All right, quickly, we have 15 seconds. Where can people find out more about this thing tomorrow?
Podcastmovement.com. Nice and easy.
All right, that sounds good. Guys, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Really appreciate it. Dan Franks and Jared Easley.
Easy for you to say.
It's, I wish it was. Podcastmovement.com. I'm Elise Kling, 58 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more WGN Radio.